I'm going to apologize ahead of time because I'm not going to read this from the King James Version. And I know that that's the one we all love because it's the one that has the beautiful poetry of the 23rd Psalm. But this is the one I study from, this translation, and sometimes some of the words are different, and that's what I'm going to use when I explain things. So I'm going to read the 23rd Psalm from the New American Standard Bible. And I think you'll be able to follow along. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May God bless this reading of his holy word. Now, I'm going to warn you right ahead of time, I'm not going to cover the whole second half of this psalm because as I was preparing this, I realized that we just weren't going to get there unless I really condensed it all, and I didn't want to have to do that because there's so much beautiful stuff here. And so we'll finish it up either next week or we'll finish it up after the picnic when we come back and worship here on the 13th. But right now, we're just going to go ahead and dig right in because this is one of those psalms that we're so familiar with that we can read through it without almost thinking about it. You know, we learn this, if we grew up in church, we learn this when we're real young, right? We learn this in the Lord's Prayer and maybe a couple of other verses, John 3:16, and we put them to memory, and that's good. Because then they're right there in our heart whenever we need them, right? We don't have to have our paper Bible right there with us. We've got God's Word right there in our heart when we need it. But sometimes the downside when we memorize these things is that then we go through them without really thinking about them too much. So we're going to dig right in. In this psalm, how many characters are there in this psalm? Two. There's just two characters in the psalm. The shepherd and a sheep, right? And if we then put that into our realm, it's God and us, right? Now, which one is God? I know this is Christianity 101, but let's make sure we cover it. Which one is God? The shepherd. Okay, so which one is us? Okay, so who gets this thing? Okay, God does, right? How often do we want to have this thing? Right? Okay? God's saying whoever has the stick is in charge. Okay? Now, the thing is, it's not, in a way, as each one of us reads this, though, it's not about God and us. It's about God and me. See, each one of us can say that. You know, David doesn't say the Lord is our shepherd. He says the Lord is my shepherd. See, I think one of the things that we need to always do when we personalize these things, we need to personalize these scriptures because it's too easy to think, you know, there's people out there that need a shepherd, but I'm doing okay. You know, I've got this holiness thing figured out or this righteousness thing figured out, and I'm doing pretty good. So those people out there that need a shepherd, this is for them. But I'll take all the blessings that come after this, right? One of the commentators I read said this whole passage, I think I'm going to get into it a little bit deeper than this, but if we can't get past owning that very first statement, the rest of this psalm isn't for us. If we can't say, the Lord is my shepherd, then don't even bother reading the rest, because it's not for us. Because it all flows out of that statement that the Lord is my shepherd. See, if I don't have a shepherd, I don't have any of the benefits that come from belonging to the shepherd. And all these benefits, all these blessings come from being in that relationship. I don't tell you that to make it exclusive, because it's not exclusive. It's for anybody that desires to receive it. So it's not exclusive. This, you know, Christianity isn't some exclusive club. But it is exclusive in the sense that only those that are under the shepherd receive the shepherd's care. You know, the other flock over there, that shepherd isn't working on them. Jesus even says there's other sheep that aren't part of this flock, but what does Jesus go to do? He goes to get them so they will be part of it. See? So when we read this, we need to read it about it being about God and each one of us individually, okay? Now, the theme and the relationship are set in this first verse. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is the one in charge of everything. The Lord is the one who is in control. The shepherd speaks and the sheep know his voice, right? And when they do, they have no need that is unmet. They have no lack. When we say, the Lord is my shepherd, we have no lack of rest. We have no lack of refreshment. We have no lack of restoration. We have no lack of peace. We have no lack of guidance. We have no lack of righteousness, of protection, of assurance, of direction, of care, of provision, of blessing, of goodness and love. We have no lack of a dwelling place. Now, if anybody wants that printed out, you can get a copy of it, but you get all of those just by going down through the 23rd Psalm. Okay, those are the things that are all mentioned there. Okay? Rest, refreshment, restoration, peace, guidance, righteousness, protection, assurance, direction, care, provision, blessing, goodness, love, and a dwelling place. Boy, there's a lot of stuff in there, isn't there? But all of those things rest on the statement, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my master. The one in charge of my life. In fact, if it helps, think about it this way. My life is not my own. I'll tell you what, how bad does that one sting? My life is not my own. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. My life is not my own, but His. It is God's. If I cannot make that statement in complete surrender to God, then the rest of this psalm has no meaning to me. When the Lord is truly my shepherd, I have not any want. I have everything I need. Does this mean that I'll have a bigger house and a fancier car? You know, does this mean prosperity theology? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I'll have everything I want. No, it doesn't say that. I have everything I need. And does that mean, well, I need a bigger house or a fancier car? Or I need children, or I need a different job, or I need this, or I need that? No, it doesn't mean that. What it means is, if I have Jesus, and well, I'm going to stop there real quick. Folks, you know, we keep talking about God because it's Old Testament, right? This psalm is about Jesus. Okay, this psalm is the middle psalm in 22, 23, and 24 that talk about a crucified Savior, that talk about a good shepherd, and then talk about a great shepherd, and talk about the greatness of God. So, and Jesus says in John, I am the good shepherd. And the writer of Hebrews says that Jesus is the great shepherd. So that's who this is really about. This is about Jesus. It's just David using language back in that day that then Jesus becomes the fulfillment of that language. Okay? So when the Lord is truly my shepherd, I have not any want. Not because Jesus starts just piling all kinds of stuff on me and I'm just like, wow, I'm so rich and happy and, you know, fat, dumb, and happy, whatever, however you want to say it, that everything's great. That's not what it means. What it means is that I have the very thing that I need the most. And everything else is garbage compared to that. I have Jesus. I have a relationship with my master. And when I have that, I don't need anything else. See? So I don't have any want. You know, that's something to think about when we say, you know, I want this because it's going to make me happy. We need to ask ourselves, do I have the relationship with Jesus that I should have? If there's something else that I think is going to be the thing that makes me happy? If I am not so filled with joy at having Jesus, why am I seeking after other things instead of seeking after more of Jesus? See? In fact, I would say that if you're seeking after those things, if you're seeking after blessings rather than the one who grants the blessings, if we're in that place, then we need to stay at that first verse until we get that one together. We need to stay right there and not go any farther until we can say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Because I don't have any need for anything else. I don't have any need for anything else. He is everything I need. I want to quote something here. Because this is such a great promise. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I read about this kind of child's misquotation of this first verse. And children teach us so much because they misquote things, but often they actually get it more right than we do in the misquotation because they get the meaning of it. They might not say the words the way they're written down in here, but they get what it means. And so this misquotation said, "The Lord is my shepherd. What more shall I want?" See, when we can come to Jesus as a child and truly have that as our goal, what more shall I want? Now I'm gonna jump down and I'm gonna skip over a little bit of this and go to the very last of the he statements. in verse 3. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Because this one's going to beat us up a little bit, and I don't want to end on that. I want to end with some of those hopeful verses. But so often we think of all the blessings in life being about us. Gee, God just loves me so much, he just can't stop giving me stuff, right? He just can't stop blessing me. And I'm just so worthy of his love and his blessing, right? You know, it's all about us, right? That God does all these things, that God pours out his love, that God sent his son, okay, for our sake. And it is true that God has that kind of love for us. But I'm going to be honest, I feel like sometimes we really push that side of the message, and I'm guilty of it too, because we're kind of selling Jesus to somebody. See what you get? If you just come to church with me, see what you get? See, Jesus will love you. But God doesn't do it primarily for our sake. See, nothing in Scripture supports that idea. God does it for his sake, his name's sake. He promised this, and if he doesn't fulfill his promise, he doesn't live into who he is, because he's perfect. His love is perfect. His righteousness is perfect. All of those things are perfect. I think we like this idea of he does it because of his great love for us, that he just can't, that we're just so worthy of that love, and we're just, see, it makes us feel good because it makes us feel worthy. You know what? God loves us even when we're unworthy. Not because we deserve it, but because that's who he is. He does it for his name's sake. Now, just in case you're not buying what I'm talking about here, all right? Talk about buying and selling, all right? I want you to listen to what happens when Moses is retelling the story to the people of Israel in Deuteronomy. Okay? So he's kind of condensing the whole Exodus story here. Because God was going to destroy all the people. God was just fed up. Okay? Now, I don't really think God was planning on doing it. I think God was teaching Moses a lesson as much as anything, because I struggle with this idea that Moses or Abraham actually changed God's mind when they convinced God to do something else. I think that's what God planned to do in the first place, but he had to get everybody else lined up. But listen to Moses' story here. He says, "So I fell down before the Lord the 40 days and nights, which I did, because the Lord had said he would destroy you. I prayed to the Lord and said, 'O Lord, God, do not destroy your people, even your inheritance.'" Notice all the your language, right? Just like in this psalm. You know, he doesn't say my people or my friends or my relatives. He says, "Oh Lord God, do not destroy your people, even your inheritance, whom you have redeemed through your greatness, whom you have brought out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Do not look at the stubbornness of this people or at their," notice, "their wickedness or sin," not your wickedness or sin, "because otherwise the land from which you brought us may say, 'Because the Lord was not able to bring them into the land which he had promised them, and because he hated them, he has brought them out to slay them in the wilderness.' Yet they are your people, even your inheritance, whom you have brought out by your great power and your outstretched arm." See, we are saved absolutely because God loves us. His salvation that he offers us through his son Jesus proves this love, but it doesn't prove our worthiness to be loved. It proves his love. And yes, we benefit. But God does it for His glory, for His name's sake. He makes us righteous for His name's sake, so that others will know His glory, so that others will know His love. So we have all of this. I mean, that's the why to all these He statements in the first half of 23rd Psalm. He makes me lie down. He leads me. He restores my soul. He guides me. Why? For His name's sake. To prove who He is so that others will know His glory. So let's look real quick at He makes me lie down. Just about every translation, if you've got your Bible here, open it up and look at it. And if yours says, He makes me, I want you to raise your hand. If you've got something other than He makes me, raise your hand. Okay, not too many. What's yours say?
Lets me.
Lets me, yeah. I'm sorry, but I'm going to dig on that one. What is that what the other one said? What translation? New Living Translation?
Good News.
Good News. Okay, so it's a paraphrase. Almost every translation uses the word makes me. And there's a reason for that. There's also a reason why lets me comes in. And that's because if you go and look up interlinear Bible, where you can see the Hebrew word and then the English word to find out how it works, the word makes isn't in there. The word lets isn't in there. It's implied by the way the word is used in the Hebrew, okay? And the implication by the word structure of that sentence is that the word that's interpreted lie down, okay, is causative. The rest of the sentence in Hebrew makes the term lie down be causative, which means it is caused by someone or something, not by the one who's lying down. Okay, now I know that gets messed up. All you English folks out there are going to say, well, then why is it lie instead of lay and all that kind of stuff. But and there's answers to that, but we're not going to get completely in the weeds today about that. But the thing is, it's a causative statement. And that causative statement then fits with the rest of what's happening there in the 23rd Psalm. Okay? Because who is the causative agent throughout the 23rd Psalm? The shepherd. The only thing the sheep do is either get the blessing of that causative action, or right in the middle, what do we do or what the sheep do? The sheep walk and the sheep will not fear. See? Everything else starts with this causative action. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And then we get that I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. See, so we have all these. In other words, it's all about what God is doing in this psalm and how we live into the blessing of what God is doing in the life of those who say, the Lord is my shepherd. So He makes me lie down. Another thing about that causative action in that phrase is that another thing that's implied in that we don't pick up in our English translation is that it's not only causative, but the causation is continual. Okay? So he is continually causing me to lie down. He is continually causing me to get that rest. He is continually causing me to come into that place where I'm going to be with him. Okay? Now, that doesn't mean it always happens, because like sheep, I mean, why is there a hook on the end of this thing? Sometimes sheep go astray, and we read about that in the Bible, right? Prodigal son. Sometimes sheep go astray, and sometimes they got to be yanked back. Okay? So, think about those times where we're banging our head against the wall to try and get something done. We're working our fingers to the bone to try and accomplish some task. We're doing all this stuff, and we just keep getting nowhere, nowhere, no. What do they say? You're getting nowhere fast, right? Why do they say that? Because we're going real fast, right? But we're getting nowhere fast. What's another term for that? Car guys. We're spinning our wheels, right? You know? I think there's another one, something like you're making a lot of smoke, but you're, you know, not getting anywhere, or, you know, things like that. Machinist, probably, I think you're making a lot of chips, but you're not making anything worth anything, right? So those are those things. We bang our head against the wall, and we keep trying to do this stuff on our own. Well, you know, when we keep doing that, it may become a really He makes me lie down. He may grab us by the neck. He may take our feet and just say, you're sitting down. It's time for you to sit down and get some rest and to spend some time with me and find out that that's not the way you're going to do this. I'll be honest, I bring that one up a lot on hospital visits. You know, we get sick, and what do? Now, we need to rest. We need to sleep. Sometimes we get sick because our body's so broken down, right, that we need to get rest. We need to heal up. Do we ever think that maybe God's trying to say, you know, while you're sitting here in bed and can't sleep, well, you could watch TV, or you could spend all your time on Facebook, or maybe you could finally read that chapter in the Bible that you've been saying you were going to read but never had time to do. Now, I'm not saying every time we get sick that that's God doing that, okay? But I am saying let's have an open mind to what God's trying to do in our lives. When we're banging our heads against the wall, when we're spinning our wheels, when we're getting nowhere fast, because we're trying to do it under our own power, maybe we're not living into that statement of the Lord is my shepherd. Because who are we saying is in charge? How often have we started our day and said, I don't have time to pray and read my Bible today. I got too much to do. And then we spun our wheels all day long and didn't get anything accomplished. Maybe because we didn't follow that leading that God was giving us to lie down. Where he says, come on, let's go. I'm going to make you lie down. Let's do this. I don't know how many times I've thought that in the morning and then gone with that and had a just rotten day. And then other times I think that and I go, no, I got to remember that saying, and I don't remember who the great saint was that said it, but I have so much to do today that I'll spend an extra 3 hours in prayer. And I don't know how many times when I've done that, the phone has rung right after I finished praying. And one of the appointments that I needed to go to that day, the person said, no, it's all taken care of. God cleared the calendar out. See? Or God somebody calls and says, hey, by the way, that thing that you needed to do, I took care of it for you. See? I had plenty of time to pray, and God knew it. But when I didn't, God didn't have anybody else take care of it because, well, okay, you want to do it on yourself? Go ahead. See? So he makes me lie down. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. When we spend the time with the Lord, we find that the way is a way of peace. God leads us to places of refreshment and guides our life in a way that doesn't need the turmoil that we so often bring into these kinds of things. As I was preparing this, a hymn kept coming back to me that I didn't pick for us to sing today, but I'm going to ask us to sing it. It's in your blue hymnal, and it's number 5, and we don't need to do it with any accompaniment. But think about these words as you think about, he leads me beside quiet waters, he restores my soul. As you're looking that up, I'll just tell you real quick. One of the things in ancient days, the Jordan River, there's stories about the Jordan River flowing so fast that if cattle tried to cross it, they would get swept away and swept down the river. Now, the Jordan River doesn't run like that anymore. It runs pretty quick if you're there. I've been there when it's been raining for 2 or 3 days, but you could still swim across it without getting swept too far downstream. Is that where a shepherd would want to take their sheep to water them? No. He wants them to be safe, right? He leads me to quiet waters. See, he restores my soul. So you got the hymn. There's a place of quiet rest. There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us who wait before thee, near to the heart of God. It's near to the heart of God where we find our rest, our restoration, our power to overcome, our direction. It's where we find everything we need. It is when we resist his leading that we struggle. The days I spend more time in prayer are my easiest days, not my hardest. When he restores my soul, I am ready to do anything. And only he can restore my soul. Remember, he created everything. He created you and he created me. He knows what we need. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. If you've never made that statement or you've never owned that statement, would you pray today? Would you pray today to receive him as your shepherd, your master, the one in charge of everything? Because in him we have everything we need. He's also the one that we go to with prayer, because that's where we talk to Jesus about those needs. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Where do you need his help today? If you have something to share where you need his help, this is the time. Got one up here. Can we get a microphone?